Have you been over to the other building yet? You'll be absolutely amazed when you get over there at all that's happening. House been remodeled. Open your Bibles to 1930, please. We celebrate the word. You never hear me pray the anointing on it. It's got its own anointing. I guess I should have preached this at Easter or the day, Sunday before. But it don't matter. Saying, go ye into the village over against you, and whereon you never, yet never man has sat. Loose him and bring him hither. What exactly has you tied up? What is it? Is there a person that keeps you in the presence of God from having a fluent prayer life? Is it a person? Maybe it's your job. In fact, on Sunday, Saturday, you're not happy with what you're doing. You don't feel like you got purpose in it. You need to do where you do what your passion is. Well, how do I get loose? And just tell other people about Jesus. So many cords in your life. What is it that has you tied up? What is it that keeps you from really having life in your bones and fire in your spirit? What is it to cause you to just feel so backward in everything, so uncomfortable? I read just that the short part of that passage he's tried to tie me up with over my life. I mean, people, help us, Jesus. People crazy. Very few hypocrites. Most of us on our way to heaven making mistakes while we go. Somebody said, I'm not going to go to church. There's too many hypocrites. I'm going to say, well, and I think if you came and you got right with God, you'd find out there aren't any. If they are, they don't like to drive them out. Or they'll get right. One or the other. What is it that has you all tied up? From the purpose of your life, what is it? Is it fear? Is it fear of tomorrow and fear of anything new? Is it fear of your health? It'll make you ache everywhere he can. I'm telling you. You know, some mornings I get up, I sound like Rice Krispies. And if everything goes in the right place, I take a step. Just cautiously. Make sure it's still going to sit there. But we're just fear of losing your health. What is it? Is it the fear of not having enough food? What is it that keeps you so tied up? Almost becomes a chore. Let me see if I can go on through this. Loose him. Just lose us, Jesus. I noticed when, and I know I've probably mentioned this before more times than not, but when he is resurrected but not free, they say, now unwrap him. Sometimes we just need to be unwrapped. You know, we keep that really good bottle of scotch way up in the corner of the cabinet, just in case. Just in, if I backslide, you know. Into my new house, the guy across the street came over to greet me. And he brought me a bottle of schnapps. And I told him I really couldn't take that. And I've never seen anybody excuse themselves and get out any quicker in my life. He was gone, poof. It was like it was magic. And I ask you, why do you lose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, and they said, the Lord hath need of him.
That's so good.
Yeah. They were expecting the Lord. They were living in expectation. You know, when he shows up, I have the colt. Everyone is waiting on him to come in. They're going to throw palm leaves at his feet, and they're going to put their clothes on, their cloaks on the mule and or the donkey. Expectant is something. And the next week, by the way, it isn't the people who welcomed him that crucify him. Pharisees and Sadducees, and they gathered people. It was a holiday, so everybody was still asleep. They'd been up so late, and the Pharisees and Sadducees gathered their people. It was the church that crucified him. It wasn't the crowd. And, you know, that's almost the way it is today. Most rumors about people start in the church. It's sad. Loose the colt. I 40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you got tied up. Is it interfering with other people? People are so tied up that they come to church and they get in the parking lot and they're not going to talk to anybody. In fact, if you get in their seat, I've threatened before that these, when they sit on the end, and one of these days, I'm just going to have a 38 up here. And help that one go to Jesus. Get him out of the way. Yeah, I'm from Detroit. Everybody knows now. But, you know, people, they just don't think about others. Somebody wants to greet. They want to be greeted. They want to be welcomed. They want to know that you're glad they're there, that you're happy maybe to meet them for the first time. He says, you've done it unto me. I just love that. Elijah is running from Jezebel, most church people. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and And looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at its head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose at 8 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. I mean, that was some good food. And Lazar, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he's still afraid of Jezebel. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have prophets of the sword, and I, even I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by with a great and strong wind. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the fire, a still, small voice. God, you just need to listen to the whisper. Sometimes we're so used to pressing it down that we no longer hear the whisper. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in a voice unto him and said, hey, why are you here if it's not to be loosed? And it gets really quiet. I know people are listening, taking notes, I hope. Somebody hit the nail on the head. Ouch. You know, just... And we realize we're tied up. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in the wisdom. You know, I want to know that I'm here, and that the time that I'm here, I'm receiving something in my spirit, and I'm asking God to do something in that service that really moves me. I was in a service one time. There was about 1,500 people. The new people don't know it. But it was about 1,500 people. And this man preached such, his oratory was so good. I mean, he was good out of 1,500. Then he gave an altar call for the sick. No one came. Out of 1,500 people, and be prayed for, nobody came. Because it's not in the oratory. It's in the dwelling place is where God really, 22, verse 23. And I know you're going to laugh when I say this because I'm going to read it just like it is. Lord, standing in the way. And his sword drawn and went into the field. I'm making myself laugh. Because I don't cuss. I don't smoke who do, yeah. But the angel of the Lord saw the wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down on, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, these three times, Let me tell you, there's some people probably in your life that you wouldn't really take advice from. Even if it's a donkey. Has a purpose. And if it's got a purpose to help me somehow, I'm going to receive it. Balaam hears the donkey talk, and still he's upset with the donkey. Some people, you can't do enough miracles to reach them. You can have donkeys talk, and still, they're not ready. Romans, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and the foal of an ass. He's speaking about Jesus. Zechariah is prophesying that donkey of Balaam's, because it had done a miracle, kept that donkey, and when it produced, they kept the donkey and kept its lineage until. And the same donkey carried Samuel when he went around, and then he carried King Jesus, the same lineage. We have a problem treasuring anything like that. Well, I mean, we don't think about our grandchildren or our great grandchildren. What's going to happen when they see us and we don't pray? Amen. That we talk, they've never surprised us while we were praying by walking in. What kind of legacy is that to leave to your family as people who just give their life to other things? You know, that one-eyed video God, the living room faces it. What is it that has, Romans 5, 6, I die for the ungodly. Galatians 4, 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. You know, what is the time something? When is the fullness of time can do your purpose? You've been waiting all this time, and you know, Deb, I know. A week or so later, she'd say, the gutters need, a week or two later, she'd say, the gutters need cleaning. I'd say, I know, I heard you the first time. I'm just waiting for the right timing. Done in due time. And I'm waiting on the right, the cleaning the gutters time. Clean the gutters. And then bought those things that are all over the. And I didn't fight her about it. You know, it's dangerous. You can get on that ladder and fall or something. So, but it's in due time. And God has given us due time. Let us therefore come boldly. Embolden you for the time. It's due now. God is his timing. And it's really your timing. You know, in due time, because of that murder, the blood, because blood cried out. In Genesis 38, the things that happened to us really bad, that it wasn't in due time, but there are times when God needs another worshiper. Enoch walked. So I think sometimes, like with my wife Deb, maybe God needed another worshiper right then. I was happy for her. I of course grieved, but I knew that she was out of pain and she wouldn't face the sorrow. But in due time, we should allows us to come boldly before the throne because of it. Exodus 2, Pharaoh. See, it had been prophesied that they were going to be there over 400 years. And it was only the day. Judges 5:10 says, "Speak ye that ride a white ass, ye that sit in what we're using to judge people. Shouldn't be rode. If we're not careful, we can nag our spouse and with Deb, she said that it felt like nagging, and when I would tell her, I think that's nagging, she'd say, well, I know you thought I was perfect, but I'm not. In due time, Ammon made war with Israel, and Israel beat them soundly. White donkeys. 1 Kings 32 to 34 is when Luke 19, 30 to 34. Lucy, man, if they ask you why, tell them. Now, I don't know about any of y'all, but I heard when it said, and the foal had never been ridden, hop on one till he's broken. And Jesus being said to you, riding on that foal. And when things go back, is we need to be broken so that the anointing can flow to us. Sometimes that Jesus can't really anoint us to do what we need to do. And we quench the spirit of the whisper. Ephesians said, and we so think that that's whether we operate in the gifts or whether we go to church. Because the whisper is your spirit talking, saying things to you with a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Sometimes being broken is very uncomfortable. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are abominations of the Lord, but they, I want to delight the Lord. Psalm 31:12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a, Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And save us such as be of a contrite spirit, broken heart. And sometimes there's things that happen that crush it. So broken that there's little pieces everywhere and we don't know how to gather them. That's when we need the fellowship of saints pulled together. what's left in us. We don't need anybody to talk either. Sometimes all we need is somebody to sit there. And not talking hurts you. And so you don't want to talk. Or broken, I have roared my reason by reason of the disquietness of my heart. That's Psalm 30. Our broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily takes the church and braids it together so that we're not so easily busted into pieces. Help each other and to be there for each other. And we can't do that because, you know, if they call us, well, if I didn't have to do this, I'd help you. I want to thank the youth for helping me move. I hate to move. Don't you hate to move? You know, the pile was getting smaller, and that filled those spaces. And they had an estate sale. I gave all kinds of stuff. The whole estate sale out there was my stuff. They're used to sale for youth camp. Because we want everybody to go that can, and those that can't, everybody should put something into it. Amen. Or they don't appreciate it, but we wanted to help them. What's got you tied up? What has you tied up? When I called this, they were there for me. They were there for me. I want to thank, while I'm at it, Dr. Robin was a great part of that too, and please forgive me, Janice Smith. I didn't intend to thank anybody, but so I'm trying to catch everybody that I remember, and I know I'm leaving people out, but you know, the thing is, and sometimes we're too tied up to help others. We're so worried about ourselves, much less with anybody else. And God's waiting on us to help that other person. So you reap what you sow. So when you help others, that means God's got to make sure that you get help. Just the way the kingdom works. But I'm wondering, the King has need of you. The Savior has need of you. You're tied up or you're unbroken. He has need of you, but you're so whole because you don't allow yourself to pray and seek the Lord and ask something of you don't want to give. And I want to declare, if it's sin that's got you tied up, if it's that you can't, you don't. Last week I was somewhere and I was preaching a youth convention. They got all these young people that they can get, all these young pastors and preachers, and they voted for me to come. And I thought, they are. And we had 3 saved and 8 filled with the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. You're just so good to me. You're just so good to me. Because when they asked me, I said no. Because I thought, they don't. And then one of them came to me and said, you know, we voted and we voted for you to come to preach our youth convention. Are you coming? I'm going to be there. because I'd been loosed. So you can be loosed today. You just need to be loose from sin, from your... You don't have a relationship with God right now. There's something that's got you tied up. Would you just lift up your hand? Just lift it up. Preacher, I just want to be free. We have two people at least. There are others you've got just tied up. And today you want to be free. Would you just kind of lift your hand and help me, please? Yes, I see some hands. Well, just to get into the altar, I don't do it that way. But if you raise your hand for either one of those, would you just come and find your way? I'm the only one that can help you. I can't do it. But just come and talk to God. And someone will help you. That's it. Just step out and come. Some of them already are. Thank you. Thank you. Do what you do. Don't hold back.
First-time guests here. If you'll just wave at me if you're a first-time guest this morning. And before you leave, our bishop would love to meet you and meet you one-on-one. And so if you don't mind, please come to the front. He's loving and he wants to just get to know you. And so if you'll please come up and meet him after service as well. We do have a prayer request wall out by the bathrooms, and God with you as well. This week we have all of our regular classes. On Tuesday, our young adults are meeting at 7 in the other building, and we would love to get to meet any of your kids, and me and my husband would love to get to meet you this morning if you're here as well. Our adults will meet at 7 in as well, and we'd love to for you to come out and join that corporate prayer. But yeah, and then that's it. Also, if you've been baptized anywhere in the month of March, we've had a lot of baptisms. If you've been baptized in March, we do have the baptism certificates out at DFC in the main foyer as well. Oh, it was a new teaching this week. Okay, he was pointing behind me and it changed like as soon. Okay, awesome. Understanding your call. That's amazing, especially with the message that we just heard this morning. So let me just pray over you guys and then we'll get out of here. Father, Lord, we thank you that you've come to meet us today and that you've met needs this morning. Lord, that people have felt called by your presence and that they heard your take that from them this morning, Father God, that you have spoken to them. You have loosed them this morning as we received the word that you gave to your people, that they would walk in purpose in this in the city of Tuscaloosa and that many would be one to you this week, Father, even just this week, Lord. And we just give you praise. We love you guys.